Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, if you missed any of the show, you can rewind with the Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Or you could check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify by typing in AWOD Radio. We post 3 hours of the show plus an hour best of every single day, Monday through Friday. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. And on Mondays at 6 p.m. from 6 to 7 is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. And Frank just texted me that wide receiver Billy Kemp and safety Antonio Clary will most likely be held out tonight for UVA as they face Syracuse. This Monday on Who's Talking, the guests are Charles McDaniel, Nate Collins, and Billy McMullen. It will be a good one. And right now, here on AWOD Radio, it's time for University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
College football, baby!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
All right, let's head out to Norfolk for Old Dominion. And the voice of the Monarchs, Ted Alexander, joins me right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's going on, Ted?
Hey, happy Friday. Boy, the weather's turned a little bit here. It's now even more football weather. Monarchs' first ever Sun Belt game coming up tomorrow. We're jacked up here, Adam, in the 757.
Yeah, that's what I want to start with. It's a big game as it's the first conference matchup of the season. I'm wondering how the students have embraced the Sun Belt competition.
Well, we'll see tomorrow, and hopefully they'll be once again in the stands for kickoff and stay after halftime. That was the mission on the opening night against Virginia Tech, and they did just that. And when the students are there, you've got a different energy in the building, and we're looking forward to that tomorrow, and the weather's supposed to be gorgeous, so all systems go.
Ted, I'll tell you, that was one of the most exciting college football games I've seen in a long time. The Monarchs nearly achieved the impossible, defeating Tech and UVA in the same season, but Brennan Armstrong's game-winning try changed that. Why do you think UVA was able to hang so close with UVA this season and defeat Tech? Is the talent gap closing?
I think the talent gap is closing. I think the coaching gap is closing, and I think these guys believe that they belong on the field with these other folks, and if they play well, they'll have an opportunity, and if they don't play well, they'll have an opportunity to lose. And the Monarchs just didn't play all that well enough against the Cavaliers on Saturday, and that's why they came up just a couple points short.
ODU faces off against Arkansas State. They're 1-2 on the season. Kickoff 4 p.m. on Saturday. The game's going to be at home there in Norfolk, like you were mentioning. What are the keys for the Monarchs if they're going to be successful against this Arkansas State team?
Arkansas State rebuilding under Butch Jones. They were really good. I mean, like 9 straight winning seasons till a couple of years ago when Jones took over. He's got a bunch of transfers on there, including former Florida State Seminole quarterback James Blackman. No turnovers and 4 touchdowns in the first 3 games. They're going to be good. They've got explosive players. Monarchs have to get the offense going a little bit. Defense did a good job last week against UVA, turning over the Cavaliers 3 times inside the Monarch 38-yard line. They're going to have to turn over the Red Wolves a little bit, and I think most importantly, Adam, it comes down to that offense. Can they get the running game going a little bit? I teased with head coach Ricky Ronnie this week at our coaches show. I said, let's just start the clock at 3 minutes and play that for the first half and 3 minutes for the second half. And he says they were just playing so much more loose and so much more free-flowing in those two-minute drills. They're going to try and simulate that at the start of the game, but it takes more than simulating. They got to execute, too, and they haven't done that really well at the offensive running part thus far.
That's Ted Alexander, the voice of the Monarchs. Ted, before I let you go, I know you've been studying for Arkansas State here, but I do want to ask you your thoughts on JMU as they face off against App State. That's going to be an awesome matchup this Saturday. App State really coming off of 3 games that they probably should have lost, and this is a tough opponent in JMU with their quarterback Todd Senteo has been throwing the ball all over the place.
JMU, wonderful start in their FBS transition with home wins. Middle Tennessee, this will be their toughest test, obviously. You go down to App State, it's a tough place to play, even when you're seasoned and experienced. It'll be a real test for the Dukes, and I think they'll be up to it. I'd take App State if I was picking in the game, but I think James Madison's going to surprise people all year long as they can stay healthy with the depth issues when you're transitioning from FCS to FBS. But I think they'll put up a heck of a fight tomorrow. It'll be a real test to see where they are for their team and their fan base because they're taking on the best in the league.
Great stuff, as always, Ted. I appreciate it. Let's head out to Blacksburg, and joining me on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline is Mike Barber from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. What's up, Mike?
Good to hear from you.
So what went wrong last night for the Hokies? At one point, it was 16-10, and I thought they had a key stop, and then it was called back because of a penalty, and just like that, a couple more touchdowns and a field goal, and Tech loses in Blacksburg 33-10.
Yeah, well, you hit on the biggest thing, which was the penalties. 15 penalties for 132 yards, and some of them in some really key moments. Third and fourth down stops where it looked like, you know, they were going to get the defense off the field, and then penalties kept drives alive. It wasn't Tech's night. They were able to hang around early by playing some great red zone defense and holding to field goals for West Virginia when there, you know, could have been touchdowns, kind of kept themselves in the game. And then, honestly, Adam, I thought it turned right before halftime, and this was a coaching error.
Yep, that touchdown pass, that 20-yard touchdown pass, right?
Yeah, and you look at the timeout that Brent Pry called right before the West Virginia field goal. He was trying to preserve time for the Hokies to have a two-minute offense. He called the timeout. The Hokies go three and out when they get the ball. All of a sudden, West Virginia's got the ball one more time, and then they give up the touchdown. I thought that's where the game turned, and then as the night went on, Virginia Tech defensively, I thought they just wore down.
I saw a lot of people upset on social media, and they were taking shots at Grant Wells and saying, look, this is what you get when you get a guy from Marshall to be your starting quarterback in the ACC. He was 16 of 35, not very good, 193 yards. He did have a touchdown, but he had an interception. Do you feel like, hey, they don't have enough a strong enough quarterback to compete with the teams like West Virginia and the rest of the teams in the ACC when they start playing them in a few weeks here? Or do you feel like, hey, it's the offensive weapons around him that aren't good enough?
Well, I think it's a combination. There isn't much skill around him right now, and that's a huge problem. But, you know, Grant Wells had some open receivers deep early that he missed. And in this offense, with the lack of skill that it has, you have to take advantage when you get that opportunity. And he left at least two long touchdown passes on the table that he just couldn't connect. He's going to need to be better. The guys around him are going to need to be better. That whole, you know, unit, and particularly the run game, only 35 yards, their fewest rushing yards since, I think it was 2015 when they managed nine against Pittsburgh. They've got to get that whole offense kind of going in a different direction.
Absolutely. It was frustrating last night. Let's head over to Charlottesville to discuss the Hoos, as they will be traveling to Syracuse to face off against the Orangemen tonight. Do you feel like the offense with Brennan Armstrong will get going tonight, or is this going to be an ugly one?
It's so hard to tell right now, because in two of their games, they've put up over 500 yards of total offense. The problem has been scoring. Now, that's a big problem, right? Nobody gives you a victory for yardage, but I think the offense is close. Because they're putting up those big yardage totals, I think they're moving the football. They've got to cut down the turnovers. They've got to cut out the untimely penalties. But I think Virginia's closer to getting through on offense. And defensively, I think they've been good. So I don't know how this game is going to go. I think Syracuse is a fascinating offense with a couple of former UVA coaches leading the way on that side of the ball. They're coming off a thrilling win against Purdue. They can run it and they can throw it. It's going to be a really interesting matchup, and I'm curious to see what Syracuse leans on offensively.
No, I totally feel like Syracuse is going to try to run the ball, and we're going to need UVA's D-line to come out to play. But then on offense, I think UVA's O-line, that's going to be a key. Can they give Brennan Armstrong enough time in the pocket to make a play or to maybe scramble and rush for more yards? He didn't run for many last week, and he ran for a ton in the first week of the season. What do you make of Brennan Armstrong's struggles? And he was talking about with it with the media after that ODU game. He just doesn't feel like himself. It feels like there's something missing in the offense so far.
Yeah, well, they're asking him to be a very different player than he was a year ago. They're asking him to be more in the pocket, more of a game manager, to check down more often, to throw the ball away more often. It's just not the offensive style that the former coaches have, and that'll be on display in this one because Syracuse is doing all the things that Brennan Armstrong used to do, kind of scramble around, broken play, scramble, drill, and make something happen. To me, that's when Brennan Armstrong is at his best, but Tony Elliott believes that the offense needs to be a more progression-based offense. he needs his quarterback to be more of a game manager. Certainly that's more of a pro style. If Armstrong can get comfortable in that, it will help his NFL outlook. But right now, he just looks like a guy adjusting to a new system.
Mike, Clemson has a tough test. Let's go around the ACC here as they face off against number 21, Wake. Both teams are undefeated. Big matchup there in the ACC. What do you expect?
Yeah, I still think Clemson is the class of the league, but certainly the fact that Sam Hartman is back, and not just back, but back full strength. He looks like Sam Hartman. This is an intriguing matchup, and it's, you know, it's going to be one of a couple of games here where I think Clemson's really going to be tested in the league in a way that they haven't been consistently tested. It feels like they've always had a hard game in the league, or maybe the Notre Dame crossover. But now I look at Wake Forest, I look at NC State, and I potentially look at Florida State as teams in Clemson's half of the league that could really give them a challenge. And it starts, you're right, with this one in Wake Forest. And it's going to be a tough test for Wake Forest and that mesh offense to move the ball against what I think is one of the best three defenses in the nation. But certainly Wake prides itself on offense and what it can do. Hartman back, it's going to be a really fun one, I think.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Florida State. I wonder if you think they're legit. I mean, 3-0 on the season, 1-0 in the ACC, offensively and defensively, really working well. But they've got Boston College on the ACC network, 8 p.m. on Saturday. Will Florida State keep it rolling?
I would think so, and I've been wildly unimpressed with Boston College.
Yeah.
Certainly we saw them up close and personal in the Tech game, but I think they have offensive line issues galore. But to your point about Florida State, yeah, you know, I think they've got a lot of talent in that program. I think it's one of those programs, kind of like Miami, that every year we're like, why can't they put it together? And it looks like they're putting things together. I mean, the fact that they won their last game while losing Jordan Travis and losing Jared Verse, probably their best offensive and defensive player, and still found a way to get things done. I think Florida State is built to be legit this year. Now, I don't know if they can beat Clemson. Are they going to win the Atlantic? That seems like a stretch. But I think they're going to be a tough out. I think they're going to win a bunch of games this year. And I certainly think they're a big favorite against Boston College.
Mike, thanks so much, man. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Let's head over to Harrisonburg. JMU will be at App State this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Big matchup there for James Madison. I mean, they could really put themselves on the map. The entire country will be watching as App State 3-0 on the season and coming off a Hail Mary victory against Troy. VMI off this week, but next week they'll be back facing Western Carolina. Coach Wackenheim will join the show next Thursday. University of Richmond 2-1 on the season, hosting 0-2 Stony Brook, the Seawolves, at U of R this weekend. I'm Adam Epstein. This was University Drive here on AWOD Radio.
Yeah, I think offensively for us is getting that first down. Genuinely, I think when we get that first down, we kind of start rolling. You know, one of the guys on the outside makes a play down the field. I think that really gives us momentum and allows us to kind of get in a little bit of our no huddle and some of our quick plays that kind of keep the defense on their toes sometimes. So I think definitely getting that first down is huge for our start.
Is that something you're already emphasizing, like already in practice here and like scripting, you know, that first drive?
No, I think, you know, each week we have a first 15 plays that we try to execute, but I think as an offense we notice when we get those first downs early and often, we really start to get in the rhythm. So I think that's definitely something that we want to try to do as soon as possible.
That was Terry McLaurin on the offensive game plan. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I'm Adam Epstein, joined by Adam Cheek. And Cheek, can you play the Hail to the Commanders theme song to get me fired up here?
No, I refuse. Yes,
of course. Oh, come on, man.
Of course
I need it. I can't give a prediction without it. All right, joining me right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for our full Commanders breakdown and predictions is Mark Tyler. What's going on, Mark?
I'm doing well, Adam. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to have you back on the show here. It's going to be a big one for Washington as they face off against the Eagles. And I've been saying all show, my key is absolutely we got to put points on the board on that first drive. We have to play with the lead rather than playing from behind against this Philly team that has an offensive firepower all over the field.
They do. They have firepower all over the field, but it's definitely driven by Hurts. So the key to that is going to be coming out quickly. And I'm still a big proponent. I want to defer to the second half because I love double dipping. If we're possibly able to double dip at the end of the first half and then get that ball in the second half and go down and score again, you can put the score on a team. So I love doing that. So I would prefer for us to go on defense, get a key stop, and then come out and play some quick offensive football. You know, short passes, hit him quick. Do a little gash up the middle on some A blast or B blast, and then take that deep shot on an early down. But yeah, getting on the scoreboard quick against these guys will be huge.
As bad as the offense was in the first half against the Detroit Lions in the 36-27 loss last week, it came on a day where Washington's offense had more first downs than the Lions, 21-17. They were perfect in the red zone, 3 of 3, and performed better on third downs, 7 of 15 to Detroit's 4 of 13. But the Burgundy and Gold still took the L because of the amount of explosive plays that they gave up. How do we limit that? You know, it's not like we're going to be able to trade for any players. The defense has just got to stop giving up these 50-yard bombs.
Yeah, it was horrible to watch that in the first half. I think I counted 4 chunk plays before the first half even finished up. I think there was 3 in the first quarter. You know, what I saw a lot was linebackers being out of position, not communicating with one another. So we've gone back and forth on social media and on Hogs Haven this week about the linebackers and the poor play. Everyone's jumping on Jamin Davis, but Cole Holcomb's been playing horrible lately. And I thought he had a really bad game. I thought he missed some tackles. He's looked indecisive at the mic. And we don't have that leadership on the field. Now, I'm keeping my fingers crossed with Cam Curl coming back this week that he's going to bring that leadership and a little bit of attitude to that defense, hopefully help improve communication. And hopefully we'll get that defense back on track this week.
Yeah, it was frustrating to watch Cole Holcomb. It just felt like he was taking the wrong lane, the wrong gap on running plays, and he got pancaked on the 54-yard run by DeAndre Swift. On the other hand, though, Carson Wentz threw for 337 yards and 3 touchdowns. And although he had an interception, it was a tipped ball, and I don't know if I would blame him for that interception. He's been very solid, if not great, through 2 games, and he's actually broken a lot of NFL records for 300 yards and plus 2 touchdowns in your first 2 games with a new team here, with his new franchise in Washington, the inaugural season for the Commanders. And as good as Carson Wentz might be this Sunday, Washington's not going to win this game unless they find a way to limit Jalen Hurts. And so we could talk all day about Carson and the offense, but really, we have to focus on these linebackers, Cole Holcomb and Jamin Davis. And I'm with you. Hopefully, Cam Curl can make a difference, but I'm just worried. I'm nervous. When you go against a guy like Jalen Hurts, you know, we played London Fletcher talking about it earlier on the show. It's all about discipline, discipline, discipline. And this defense has been the opposite of discipline so far this season.
Well, good points there. I agree with you 100%. And I said, you know, we had to get out of that damn bear front. So the bear front, we don't have the horses up front to run that right now. So he wants to put, you know, with Mathis there, yeah, we did have it. When Chase comes back healthy, it's a little bit different. But my thing is get into an over front. Use Jamin Davis or use Shaka Tony as a 4-3 walked up Sam. If you guys remember back in the day, when Seattle had that great defense, they had Bruce Irvin playing that role. So Bruce Irvin was a 6'2", 242-pound undersized outside linebacker rushing the passer. Well, Jamin Davis can do that. Shaka Tony can do that. We saw Davis's pass rush ability. So if you want to run a 5-man front, listen, put Payne as your 1 technique, let Allen go from the 3, put Obada in there who can do some 5 technique, and then opposite of Sweat, you have Tony or you have Davis as that walked-up hybrid Sam. And I love the underfront. I think it would help out. Then you can put Cole Holcomb and whoever safety, if it's Curl, it could be Forrest. You can let them play back there, and that could be your traditional run-stopping defense. And then you come in with your normal nickel. We're saying Juice has played outstanding so far.
It really is all about complementary football, because if Washington gets a stop from Jalen Hurts and then they go 3-and-out, I guarantee you he's going to step back onto the field and go, you know, 10 plays, 80 yards for a touchdown. It's going to be, you know, nearly impossible to ask our defense to get consecutive stops, which means it's going to come on Carson Wentz to start hot and really stay hot on offense and not have these 3-and-outs. Chris Cooley joined the Kevin Sheehan podcast earlier this week, and he said, quote, "I didn't feel like Scott Turner, got any of the first 4 drives going. I didn't love the lack of balance I thought he had going early against Jacksonville. I don't think they had balance to get into 3rd and 2. I still feel like they are going to struggle to run the football. Don't feel like they are good enough up front. I don't feel like they are committed enough to run the football. What do you make of that quote there, and do you think that Washington will continue to struggle with the run game this weekend?
Well, I agree with parts of the quote. I don't agree with the whole thing. I think Turner has done a good job calling the game so far. I think we started off slow because of a couple different things. We had a couple gaffes on the offensive line. It looked like guys were getting gassed early in this game. So I'm like wondering how these guys can come out and show so poorly early on. But Leno, who's usually a rock, gave up a strip sack in the end zone. I mean, we got put in a bad situation because of field position. There was just some miscues, some misread by Carson, some receivers running the wrong routes. So I don't put a lot of the blame on Turner there, but I do put some of that blame on the offensive line. And I was nervous watching these guys run block. They didn't look like they were in sync, especially when you're talking about those outside zones and those tandem blocks. We looked slow. We looked lethargic. We weren't getting to the second level. We made Alex Anzalone look like an All-American when he was back in Florida. It was unbelievable.
Joined by Mark Tyler on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from Hogs Haven. Follow him on Twitter at Tyler56, T-I-L-L-E-R. Let me get your official prediction for the game this weekend.
All right, so I'm going to go out on the edge here, and I'm going to go 28-27 us. 28-27 good guys. And I think it's going to be a turnover late in the game that helps us to get this victory.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate the prediction. Go Commanders.
Absolutely, Adam. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We're going to go around the NFL. NFL hits next. Give you our best bets for the Sunday slate on The Fan. Welcome back. How are you doing? Happy Friday. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Appreciate everybody's support throughout the show. You can call us by dialing in 833-804-0910, or you can tweet me at AWOD Radio. If you want to show the support that you have for the show, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts by typing in AWOD Radio. Leave a review, rate it, and tell your friends. Share and spread the word about AWOD Radio, which you can hear 12 to 3 on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM every Monday through Friday. Let's mix it up here. Go around the NFL. NFL hits on The Fan.
Every regular season matchup, every head coach on the hot seat, the hit stories in the NFL. NFL hits on AWOD Radio.
Let's start with last night. Cheek, how good did Jacoby Brissett look? 21 of 31, 220 yards, and two touchdowns.
I was at the Squirrels game. I actually could not tell you.
All right, so I was at the Squirrels game, but I was still following it on my phone. And then when I left the game, I saw the fourth quarter. That Browns offense has a lot of talent. Looking like the Browns offense from 2 years ago when Baker Mayfield was playing pretty good. Because you got Chubb, who's spectacular. But Kareem Hunt, when he catches the ball, is so hard to bring down. 13 points in the fourth quarter to lead them to the victory over the Steelers, who have a ton of issues, including their quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. He's just not very good.
Nope.
Amari Cooper was excellent last night, 7 receptions for 101 yards and a touchdown. All right, this Sunday, 1 p.m., Texans at the Bears. You know what? I'm just going to stay away from that one. Why would you touch that one? The line, Chicago minus 2.5. Davis Mills has been okay this season, but he doesn't have many weapons to throw to besides Brandon Cooks and the Bears. I'm just not the biggest fan of Justin Fields. I'm going to stay away.
Either. I'm not either.
1 p.m. Raiders, Titans. Battle of two 0-2 teams. Both teams that I have in the playoffs. So either way, I'm screwed on this one. I'm going to go with the Raiders and Derek Carr to bounce back.
Yeah.
Chiefs,
yes.
Colts. Chiefs 2-0, Colts 0-2. The game from Lucas Oil Stadium, 1 p.m. on CBS. This would be a great situation for the Colts to bounce back and Matt Ryan to prove, you know, that he's not, you know, way past his prime. But Patrick Mahomes is just too good. The Chiefs are -5.5. I think the Colts can keep it close if they're able to establish the run with Jonathan Taylor. It's like they've forgotten that they have the best running back in football in Jonathan Taylor. He's only had 40 carries on the season so far. He should be over 60. It's just unbelievable the way they've been using him. I'm going to go with the Chiefs in that one.
I'm actually going to change my pick to the Titans for the one prior, but I think the Colts, you were talking about a bounce back. I'm picking the Chiefs, but if the Colts can give them a game, that's going to be huge for them because they really did absolutely nothing last week.
The game of the week is 1 p.m. on CBS as the Bills travel to Miami to face the undefeated Dolphins.
That's going
to
be good.
And Tyreek Hill has been catching touchdown passes every game. He's found a way to get beyond defenses, which is I'm always confused by that. You know he's going to beat you with his speed, play 10 or 15 yards off him, but it never happens. It doesn't work. But the Bills, on the other hand, I don't think they've even had to face a third down yet, at least more than once or twice this season. Josh Allen's been a Buffalo. It's impossible not to bet against, to bet on the Bills. I'm going Bills over Dolphins.
Absolutely.
Lions, Vikings, 1 p.m. on Fox. That's an ugly matchup right there. I think the Vikings win. Yep. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions, you know, put up 35 points again. That offense, you know, it doesn't seem like they have that many weapons, but Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift have been enough for them. And Jared Goff has not been terrible at all this season. I'll go Lions to win that one.
I'm leaning Vikings, but I think it's going to be like an ugly shootout. One of those ones that's not fun to watch.
1 p.m. Ravens at Patriots. Patriots have not been great so far this season. 1-1 on the season. Mac Jones, just I thought losing all that weight was going to help him offensively. I don't think he has enough weapons around him. I'm going with Lamar and the Ravens.
Yep, same.
1 p.m. Bengals 0-2 against the Jets. This is my lock of the century. After making it to the Super Bowl, the Cincinnati Bengals are not going to start the season 0-3. They're not going to fall to the New York Jets. Nope. I get it. It's at MetLife Stadium. It's a home game for the Jets, but they're the Jets. And they're still QBing Joe Flacco in 2022. Make that make sense. I'm going with the Bengals. Lock it in right now. Bengals -6.5.
Joe versus Joe. Burrow wins. Easy.
I didn't think about that.
Burrow and Flacco, so they rhyme too. Good Lord.
The Battle of the Joes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have myself a cup of Joe and watch that game. 1 p.m. on Fox, Saints-Panthers. I'm going Saints in that one, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to avoid even watching that. Hey, Red Zone, don't show it. 4 p.m., Jags-Chargers. Bounce back game there for the Chargers, Justin Herbert. I expect him to throw 3 or 4 touchdown passes. We've seen how bad the Jags defense can be.
Yep, same.
4:25, here's a good one. Rams against the Cardinals. I actually think the Rams win this game and cover the spread. Rams -3.5. I might even alternate line up that to and buy some points. Give me Rams -7. I expect them to win by at least a full touchdown.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Definitely Rams to win. For
Man,
sure,
you're not doing
else.
A good job of going against me here.
No, you're saying all the ones I agree with.
No, when I'm saying them with this kind of confidence, fade me. Always fade the WAD. Fade AWAD. 4:25, Falcons at Seahawks. I'll let you take it away.
Seahawks win. But it's gonna. I think it's gonna be another ugly game. Probably a low scoring ugly game, like one of those like I don't want to say 9-6, but it'll be low scoring. Maybe the Commanders Seahawks game I went to was like 17-15. I think it'll be something like that. Seahawks win, but these are two not great teams. I think the Falcons are worse.
Does Cordarrelle Patterson get into the end zone? Because I have him in fantasy.
Yeah,
I like
it. I think he gets one.
4:25, man. This might actually be the game of the week. Packers travel to face off against Tom Brady in Florida and the Buccaneers.
Rodgers, Brady, this is, I think, their fifth meeting. Brady's 3-1 against Rodgers, I want to say. So I'm leaning Tampa, especially after the Packers.
I'm going with the Packers. They need this more.
They do.
They're 1-1 on the season, and they have not looked great. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, the best part of the season for them is when they scored the touchdown and the entire O-line pretended to take ayahuasca. You know, been the highlight of their season.
The Packers need the Buccaneers to have a first half like Tampa Bay had last week against the Saints and really capitalize on that.
Sunday night football. We've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Yeah, I'm not really waiting all day for that matchup, though. 49ers traveling to Denver to face off against the Broncos.
Yeah,
I'm going to be rooting for Russell Wilson, but neither team really scares me this season. The 49ers are obviously going to start Jimmy G now for the rest of the season with Trey Lance out. But he's not a sexy quarterback. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going Broncos too.
Monday Night Football, a division matchup here in the NFC East. The 1-1 Cowboys with Cooper Rush still at quarterback travel to New York to face off against the undefeated Football Giants.
Ooh.
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, Cheek, let's reach out to Sean Mirage to get him on the show on Monday to preview that matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, he cried after the Giants won the first game of the season because it's been that long since the G-Men were above 500.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I think I'm going Cowboys in this one.
Really?
There's a lot of ugly games this week. I don't like a lot of these matchups.
Yeah, I'm not going with Cooper Rush to win 2 weeks in a row. The Giants get the victory and move to 3-0 in the NFC East. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in on NFL hits, call us, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910, or tweet me at AWOD Radio. Your official prediction for the Commanders and keys to victory when I return on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, it has been a really fun week, man. Cheek, it was great to be out at the Diamond yesterday doing my show live and then going to the game. I mean, I just want to give the Squirrels another shout-out for an excellent season, leading all of minor league baseball in attendance, making the playoffs for the first time since 2014. And Tyler Fitzgerald's 20-20, the first time in franchise history a guy had 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases in a season.
It's awesome. I had a lot of fun, you know, working with them, covering it this season. We had, you know, Blaine and Trey and Parney on all yesterday, and I already can't wait for next year.
Yeah, no, totally. I felt that way. I felt like the environment was great last night. The crowd was into it. And, you know, I get it. It was disappointing to see them lose. It was a disappointing second half of the season, you could say so, after being in first place and after the first half of the season. That's why we made the playoffs. But they had a ton of injuries, including Frankie Tostado, who was there last night. But, I mean, they definitely could have used him at the plate. He was the RBI guy at the start of the season.
No, I went out to the signing that he was doing to just take a look at the crowd and put that up on Twitter, and it was like half the length was like half the entire concourse, which was insane. And Blaine's outro to the last broadcast last night, you know, I ran some games for them this year. He thanked me and Rob and all the people that produced for them this year, and it got to me a little bit. And I'm
who's
gonna
that? Jordan
them.
And Linnell.
Jordan and Linnell as well. Yeah.
Very cool. We love giving everyone shout outs for their hard work. And we love our relationship with the Squirrels. Looking forward to next season. But right now, it's time for our keys to victory. Cheek, can you play the theme song for me?
Let's do it. And I gotta do my keys too.
I love it. All right, Commanders, when they face off against the Eagles. And before I give my keys to victory, though, Clutch Points put out an article here that's driving me crazy. It literally is. And if you're listening right now, it's probably going to drive you crazy, too, if you bleed burgundy and gold like I do. You can call us, 833-804-0910, or tweet me at AWOD Radio. Clutch Points article, 3 bold predictions for Commanders-Eagles. Number 1, Washington Commanders cornerbacks Kendall Fuller and William Jackson III will get torched by A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, saying the Eagles have one of the most dangerous passing attacks in the entire NFL. And when Jalen Hurts taking steps forward to open off the season, he's definitely been able to spread the field and has looked much better with his arm strength this season. So I don't like hearing that. Number 2 is even worse. Bold prediction here from Clutch Points. Washington Commanders Carson Wentz will commit 4 total turnovers. Carson Wentz's first 2 games with the Commanders have been a bit uneven, to say the least. He led Washington to a comeback in their game against the Jags, but then also was terrible in the first half in their loss to the Lions. Wentz will throw a pair of interceptions and also will lose 2 fumbles throughout the duration of the game. See, that's the one that really irked me. And then the last one here, I'm ready to never go on clutchpoints.com ever again, Cheek. Number 1, the Commanders will get blown out by the Eagles 37-10, saying Hurts will once again claim the lead to an Eagles victory in this one, throwing for 3 touchdowns, then handing it off on the final score to Miles Sanders. Antonio Gibson will score for the Commanders, their only touchdown of the day, and Wentz simply will not be able to protect the football long enough for Washington to make any sort of attempts to win this game. So that's really frustrating there. But let's get to our keys to victory. Cheek, what are your keys for Washington?
I'm going to basically echo what I said last week. I'm going to sound like a broken record. It's Dotson. It's getting the ball to Dotson. I've been very impressed by him the first 2 weeks. And also just refining Carson Wentz's capabilities within the offense, because obviously we saw some offensive miscues last week, two-point conversion. We've gotten into that already. But just getting some sort of flow, because last week, the first half, obviously, we've gone over that.
There was no flow.
There was no flow. There was no offense at all. But just putting up points in the first half, having a competitive game at halftime, resetting, and I was very impressed with the defensive pressure they put on Trevor Lawrence in week one in that final drive, and just having that consistency on defense and the offensive capability and working with each other, I think, is super important.
You mentioned Jahan Dotson really impressing you. Are you not, just used to it? Because the entire offseason, everyone was giving him praise that, man, this guy is going to be incredible. He's going to be the next big wide receiver.
No, it's the same thing, whether it's me covering racing or it's following minor league baseball, or you're talking about the squirrels or football or whatever. You don't know how someone's going to do until they get to that premier level. They could impress all training camp and in college and everything, and then just not be good, just not adjust to the NFL game atmosphere well. And I think he's done that in a huge way. And doing that early on in your career is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and the reason I asked you to give more details, because that's my number one key to victory. You got to get Jahan Dotson the ball early, right? We've seen defenses key in on Terry McLaurin and try to limit the amount of catches he got, right? We saw Detroit. Literally, they did not let Washington beat them the same way we beat the Jags with these short, quick passes to Curtis Samuel. They cut those out, right? They messed with the timing. How did Washington get in the end zone? By using Jahan Dotson's route running in a one-on-one matchup. Defenses can focus on McLaurin. They can double-team Curtis. But Jahan Dotson, because he's a rookie and because it's early in his career, he's most likely going to see a ton of one-on-one matchups. I like his chances. Throw it up to Jahan and let him make a play. His route running, the way he's been able to chop his feet. That touchdown last week, it really did impress me, because you saw him. He realized, hey, I can run a quick in route here, but if I cut to the back of the end zone, that's where there's going to be space for me to make the play, and that's what he did. Exactly. My second key to victory, wipe the slate clean from last week's defense. It was terrible. So many miscues. We gave up, 9 explosive plays or something like that? So my key is limit Philly to just one play of 16 or more yards. Only one explosive play allowed by Washington would give them a chance, and they will keep it close. Number three, my key to victory. Win the turnover battle. I mean, Carson has had 3 picks so far this season. He only had 7 last year. But it feels like, what is he going to throw 30 this year? He's got to stop the turnovers. He's got to limit the amount of interceptions. Look, I don't think he's going to throw just 7. I can already see after 2 weeks he's stretching it more down the field. He's being a little less careless this season, so he probably will have 10 or 15. But he's got to limit the turnovers, and he's got to be more accurate. And the biggest thing for Carson is understanding his pocket presence. He's so big and so strong. It's hard to bring him down. It's easy to bring him down when he runs right into you, or he steps up into the pocket right into the heart of the defense. He's got to be able to feel the pressure when it comes from the outside, feel the blitz, and then, hello, Carson, you have the ability to change the play call. You don't call play action and you don't stick with it when you see 6 guys blitzing or 7 guys blitzing off the edge. You cannot run a play action. You don't have enough time, Carson. Part of that's on Scott Turner, but part of that's on Carson to be an NFL veteran quarterback and realize, hey, I got to have some hot routes here. I'm not going to be able to let Curtis Samuel run 15 yards down the field and turn around. No, I'm going to have to tell him to run 6 yards and turn around, and tell Curtis Jahan Dotson to go across the middle, and tell my tight end to be an extra blocker. He can do these things. NFL veteran quarterbacks do these things. He's got to step up and have the confidence to make those kind of calls on the field for Washington. So, can Washington win the turnover battle? That is my third key for Washington. I wanted to bring up this interesting article from WTOP that says Washington is running in place. At first glance, The ground game gained 88 yards on 21 carries. But a look at the first half where they were held to 17 yards and 6 carries. 17 yards on 6 carries is so bad. It sets up all these third downs and long. Antonio Gibson was held to 2 yards per carry. 28 yards on 14 rushes. What did we give up? 7.8 yards per carry. It simply comes down to that. You remember the quote I said? So you put out an interesting article about my rant about the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
About analytics. And what did I say, Cheek? I said, since when does the NFL come down to analytics and not whose offensive line is bigger and stronger?
Right.
It does every single week. You have to be able to convert the third and ones, the fourth and ones, you know, the short yardage situations, and then the goal line situations. And so I don't think really it's going to come down to analytics at all. I look at this game here and I think, can the O-line create enough holes for Antonio Gibson to average more than 2 yards a carry?
Yeah.
He's got to get up to 3 or 4 yards. The NFL average is about 3.6.
And pray to God he doesn't fumble.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, that's why the other key is the turnover battle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard. Look, Philadelphia is going to put points on the board. They are. I mean, through two games, that offense is looking fantastic. But the key is, in a rivalry matchup, one turnover could change the momentum and swing it for the entire game.
Yep.
If you're able to get into the backfield. This is a big game here for Montez Sweat, right? It's not like we have Chase Young on the other side. And Chase Young, if you remember, was an Eagles killer.
Yep.
They were running these zone option reads, and as much as I gave Chase Young a hard time for last season not getting enough sacks, he had a bunch of these tackle for losses, being able to read the read option. And he had one play in particular that I saw a highlight on Twitter yesterday where he faked tackling the running back and ate up Jalen Hurts. So without Chase Young, I'm looking for Montez Sweat to get into the backfield and cause a strip fumble. You like that? A strip fumble on Jalen Hurts. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Go Commanders! I'll see you guys Monday on The Fan at 12 noon.